AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
The voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where Brandy gets personal here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. And in the interest of full disclosure, occasionally, I'm going to have some callers who I've asked to call in so that you can experience a full range of what we do here on Brand Talk. But we also want you to call. So give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And before I get into my opener, I just want to let folks know that if you're joining us for the first time and you would like to get some archived shows, you could go to brandtalkradio.com and you can listen to the whole show there. And I would also like you to know, if you find me interesting, or maybe you don't find me interesting, or might want to get in touch with me, you can do that. I'm on Facebook. I have a Dr. John Tantillo page. I have a John Tantillo page. There is also a group called Brand Talk where we can get some issues started. And by the way, I guess I'm going to make my producer nervous by talking a little bit about the primaries from a marketing point of view. I'm not going to get into the political brands per se, but from a marketing point of view, how I'm looking at the these primaries. It's really, really interesting because as I like to say, I don't really like to talk about political stuff here, because normally on Brand Talk, which is heard exclusively on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial, and because it gets in the way, people miss the point. They think I'm partisan in a way, and I try not to be, but for some reason it comes up. But we're gonna tackle that as well. What I would call the marketing involved in what we are experiencing. And I have a whole list of other things that I would like to go into as well. But if you'd like to give us a call, once again, we're at 914-636-0110. We'd love to hear you. And if you are email inclined, you can also email me, and I'm right at the I'm right at my iPad, and you can get us at doc@brandtalkradio.com. The artist brand, a common brand that's not me. On Friday, folks, I was watching great performances on PBS, which aired from the Disney Concert Hall, and there was a Gershwin concert performed by pianist virtuoso Herbie Hancock and the Los Angeles Philharmonic conductor, Gustavo Dudamel. By the way, that is just such a great place to go. If you ever get out to L.A., what you must do is you must go to the Disney Concert Hall. It's just incredible. But anyway, so it got, you know, it was a Friday night. I was a little tired from the week's activities, putting out fires here, there, and doing all those branding things that I like to think I do pretty well. And they played first Gershwin's American in Paris and then Rhapsody in Blue. And I guess I was a little sentimental. It's January. I'm still, I guess, on vacation time. And it took me back to the age of 20, which is some years ago. And it reminded me of being an undergraduate in my music appreciation course at St. Francis College. And for some reason, this performance the other night just brought all this back. And the Los Angeles Philharmonic just did such a beautiful job. I got goosebumps. And then Herbie Hancock did Rhapsody in Blue. I mean, it was just incredible. And of course, it also brought up some not so positive memories, because I guess I was the only 5-year-old in America that asked his mother for piano lessons and was dismissed by my mom with a "Who do you think you are?" look, followed by a quick reflexive "No." So I guess very young in my youth, I realized that I was going to not be an artist. You know, I could just see my parents, and they were really great people. Please don't get me wrong. They were just, you know, hardworking people. And if I would have said to them, "I want to be an artist," I could have just said, "I'll give you an artist." That's what I would have gotten. But anyway, but. The point I'm making is that if I were to pursue a field in art, I simply love music. And I loved it ever since I was a kid. In grammar school, I was a choir boy instead of being an altar boy. In high school, I got into the Glee Club thanks to my friend Frank, who I always talk about, that I've known for years. He got me into that as well. And then in college, I got into the Glee Club. And now, of course, with Glee, everybody, it's really hip and really with it. But when I was doing it, you wouldn't really want to tell too many people you win the Glee Club. But anyway, the Glee Club director kind of pulled me in. And what I'm basically saying is I was getting a lot of positive reinforcement on this artist brand, but I never quite understood. I guess I never believed that. And so that the artist brand, as I promised, which is really a common brand, never really was part of the John Tantillo moniker or the proper brand. It just was never part of me. There was this thing, but music is very special, and it's funny that when I do talk to my music friends, and I have a very, very dear friend who is a flautist for the Philadelphia Philharmonic. His name is Jeffrey Kaner. And we had a wonderful discussion one day, and he told me, because I was telling him I would have loved to have been a musician and all of this. He says, "The problem is, John, is when you're in music, your mind is always on music, and you can never really appreciate music." And I thought that was very, very unique. But anyway, so what this all did is it just made me think about how radioactive this artist brand is. to a man and a woman on the street, and all the hurdles that one must go through if you are an artist. And you know, this I might have mentioned that when I was down in South Beach, I met an up and coming actor, and I was giving him some advice on my NAV model of branding: noun, adjective, and verb. And this this model can be used not only for actors; it could be used for all of us in any in our career. It could be used in terms of a business, and that's what we do here on Brand Talk. We want to provide a model, and my passion is to talk about how the science and psychology of marketing and branding can help you become the brand you really want to be. So anyway, this kid is I'm trying to help this kid. I shouldn't call him a kid. This young adult. And the problem is that when you you ask him for a brand strategy, it's all over the place. He really, really doesn't know what the heck you're talking about. And then he leaves you with, and I don't know whether or not I really want to pursue it because it's so hard. I said, what? What do you mean it's too hard? That's something a 35-year-old or 40-year-old might say. With a family, you're a young guy, you have these dreams, why don't you pursue it? And it reminded me of how radioactive, I use that term again, the artist brand is in a lot of people's minds. And when I pursued it, it was his mother and his father giving him heat as to maybe he should be looking for another position. And this permeated, you see, this permeated his tactics. He didn't have a website. He didn't have a headshot card. He didn't have business cards. It was like he was not taking his acting lessons. He wasn't doing showcases. I mean, you got to be, you know, promoting yourself. And, you know, when we talk about this on Brand Talk, which is on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial, and we like to discuss these issues. And maybe you have an issue that you want to talk about your brand, 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com. So that what we have here is this resistance that a lot of people who are in not only the arts, but people that want to pursue their dreams of doing what they want to do as opposed to doing what they have to do. And that's what I think is very, very hard to overcome. So anyway, I have a solution for people who think that they're artists, and that is, I don't think you should call yourself an artist, or think of yourself as an artist. Think of yourself as a creative person, and by thinking yourself as a creative person, that might be a better way, and people might be a little bit more tolerant of you pursuing what you want to say. So probably telling somebody that you're an actor or you're a performer is not the best way to go. Probably letting them know that you're a creative person pursuing a whole array of creative enterprises or creative fields might be a better way to go. And one last point that I communicated to this young man, and I communicate to all of my listeners, if you're going into show business, and is remember that it's not called show art, it's called show business, and that the principles that we talk about here on Brand Talk can very nicely be implemented into your marketing plan. And every actor, unfortunately, or singer, or musician, or whatever it is, sports figure, whatever it is, you should have your own individual marketing plan. And it's not really too hard to do. You just go on the internet and look up marketing plans, and there are plenty of samples there or software programs to do that. And you're listening to Dr. John Tantillo here on Brand Talk, and we'd like to hear from you at 914-636-0110. That's our call-in line. That's 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. And so I guess the secret here is for us to not call ourselves an artist and to call ourselves a creative person that's pursuing creative interests or have creative interests. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Now, before I get into my winner and loser, that should cause a great deal of commotion. I talked a little bit about my winner last week and got a little bit of heat, but we'll talk about that in just a few. But what I like to talk a little bit about is the results of yesterday's primary in New Hampshire. And I was just talking to John, my colleague here at the station, who was doing a Hamlet. Should I or shouldn't I talk about what happened last night? And I figured out a way of doing it without getting partisan. And it's this, that I always talk about marketing and as a way of satisfying people's needs. And I just couldn't believe the disconnect between the commentators and what the poll results were showing. And the poll results, the after poll, you know, of the post-mortem, was that people that were voting in this primary, their primary concern was the economy. And who did they vote for? The economic guy, the business guy. And I couldn't believe this. They said, there was, I won't mention the commentators. They said some commentators were saying that Romney did okay. He didn't do as good as he should have done. That's right. Now, look, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And I was involved in politics many, many years ago. And in the old days, 10 points was considered a landslide. 10 points, a landslide. Romney, 39.3%, the closest was Ron Paul with 22.9%. That's a difference of 16.4 percentage points. It's almost a landslide and a half. And people were saying that he didn't do as well as he should have. And then the postmortem that I just said. What were people voting for? It was the economy. And then it came to me. Why Romney is winning? Duh. It's the economy, stupid. People want somebody to, and they don't care about anything that ideological people care about. They care about their lives. And that's what's going on. And that's why Romney won and has a good chance of winning in the future, because he is perceived as the business brand and the guy that's going to be able to get jobs done. That's the perception. I'm not saying it's true or not. I'm not taking a position. I'm just saying from a marketing point of view, this is what's going on, and that's why you see what you see. So anyway, there you go. So that's all I'm going to say. Well, there's one more thing I'm going to say, and but I'm going to first get into the winner and loser before I go into it, and it has to do with negative advertising and when it works and when it doesn't work, and we'll get into that. We will get into that in just a few, but I would like to talk a little bit right now about our winner and loser. And each week, folks, I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement the takeaways into your brand life. And so without any further ado, let's get into our brand winner. And this week it is the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And by the way, you're listening to WVOX. This is Brand Talk. And if you would like to give us your opinions on maybe the primary, even though I shouldn't be reinforcing that, but from a marketing point of view, why Romney won, as opposed to from an ideological point of view, give us a call at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. And it was very interesting, before I went on, John asked me what Mitt Romney's brand was, and I said he's chief executive officer, he's the business brand, and he's going to get the jobs back. That's the perception. But anyway, and by the way, does anybody know what Mitt Romney's first name is? Begins with a W. So maybe somebody, I'll try to give you that at the end of the show, but it's a pretty unique it's a pretty unique name. As a matter of fact, it was a movie that had the same name. But anyway, let's talk about the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And if you missed last week's show and you didn't hear my rant about what was going on, and it's a good rant. I don't want you to think that I'm just bringing these things up just to let off steam. It's that it's 99% of the time, even though sometimes I might be having a bad day, it has to do with reality, that that these brands are either good or bad. And these guys and gals at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, I have to tip my hat to them, because they received a lot of criticism for their ad campaign to fight childhood obesity. And the campaign is called Strong for Life and features black and white photos of fat children with provocative taglines like, "It's hard to be a little girl if you're not," and "Why am I fat?" Predictably, the self-esteem brigade and child psychology experts have come out and said that this kind of approach will only make things worse. But Children's Healthcare of Atlanta had fought back and refused to pull the ads. Now that takes courage, or as Bert Law used to say, courage in the Wizard of Oz, courage. But organization's hope is to shock people into recognizing that we have a real epidemic on our hands, and the sad fact that fat kids turn out to be fat adults, and fat adults stay fat. And by the way, I am one of those kids. I was fat until the age of 50. And it's so funny. I think I might have mentioned this on one of my shows, that I went into the pharmacist and I a few weeks ago, and I was telling them that, you know, I saw myself as a fat person. And they said, "You're not fat. We never remember you were fat. Were you fat?" And all my life I was fat. And the point is, they only have known me for the last 10 years. And my point here is, I wish there would have been a program at that time reminding my parents. By the way, my mother was overweight. My grandmother was overweight. My father was overweight. Everybody in our family was overweight. And masculinity was how many bowls of macaroni you can have. And I hope that that's not, I hope I'm not offending anybody by saying that, but that's what in fact is went on in my life. And so this kind of an approach is exactly what you need. And it's very, very, very hard to become thin later in life if you were overweight early in your life. So this is a by the way, the science is there. Matter of fact, Tara Parker Pope's article in the New York Times called The Fat Trap. And by the way, even when I was a kid in high school, I mean, my gym teachers were telling me, you're probably going to be fat all your life because, you know, you were fat during your adolescence. So, I mean, this thing that we talk about, and I was constantly on diets. So, the point is that we should take a look at this campaign and see the good that it does. And the other approach that I think we should also consider is that it wasn't targeted to children. It was targeted to the parents to make them a little bit more sensitive. So here's another little close fact. There's close to 1 million children obese in Georgia. So this is, in fact, something that is something to take care of. So when we come back, we're going to give you Did You Know That? We're going to talk about our loser of the week and later.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Lucera. The Republican presidential candidates now focusing on South Carolina. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich trying to make inroads.
Newt Gingrich took a red eye down here to South Carolina to be able to make a speech on foreign policy at a town hall meeting in Rock Hill this morning, talking topics like Iran. He's also bought a lot of TV ad time in this state. One ad running questions frontrunner Mitt Romney's track record on abortion, a hot-button issue among South Carolinian evangelicals.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown, the maker of Wonder Bread and Twinkies, filing for Chapter 11.
The company says its cost structure is not competitive. It blames legacy pension and medical benefit obligations, as well as what it calls restrictive work rules. The 82-year-old Texas company came out of bankruptcy in 2009. It says those restructuring efforts were not sufficient.
Robert Gray with the Fox Business Network. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
The forecast, Westchester County and the vicinity for this afternoon. We'll see mostly sunny skies, highs will climb in the lower 40s, increasing clouds this evening, periods of rain or snow, overnight lows upper 30s. Cloudy rain likely mainly during the morning, becoming windy in the afternoon. Highs will range into the lower 50s early, periods of rain possibly changing to snow showers Thursday evening, overnight lows falling lower 40s. Mostly cloudy, rain or snow showers in the morning on Friday, highs middle 40s, becoming partly sunny, breezy, colder weather Saturday, upper 30s, mostly cloudy, cold Sunday. Steve Pelletieri Jr., 45 WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk and talk and talk.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
We're back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we are talking about brands And we're also talking about our winner and loser. And our loser this week, I can't believe this. Okay. But before we talk about our loser, we have a caller, and callers are a very, very important commodity to us. So let's get to our caller. What's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Hi, my name is Katie.
What's your name? I'm
Katie.
Katie, yes, Katie.
I'm from Long Island.
Yes, Katie.
And I'm a college student.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what my brand is yet, and I'm wondering about when I should start doing that.
Immediately,
I'm a sophomore. I don't know.
I think you should start now, immediately, if not sooner, as my teachers used to tell me. I'm just so happy that you called, because you've been my primary demographic. I want college students to call, so I'm very happy you did that.
Right. I don't really know how do you start branding yourself.
Okay. Well, I guess the first thing you have to do is a little self-discovery. And what does that mean is just who you are. And what does that mean? What do you like? What do you dislike? And, write that down and think about that. And then get some feedback from your family members and find out how they, in fact, perceive you. And then after you do that, you go to your friends and then find out how they perceive you and what they think you are. And you don't say to them, what's my brand? Because they're going to look at you and say, yeah, are you okay, Katie? Is there some? Have you been reading a book that we don't know about? So it's got to be a little bit more subtle than that. So it's got to be, what do you think of my strengths, or what do you think my weaknesses are? What could I do better? And unfortunately, Katie, people will tell you. but don't be shy about it, or don't be upset about it, because as humans, we all can become better. And that's the whole idea, is what you do is you take, and then you take the data that you receive and begin to mold it into something that you are, not something that I want you to become, or your parents want you to become, or your teachers want you to become. What you have to do is you have to become the brand that you want to be. And you find out what it is, like, for example, what is it that you like to do?
I like to run and read.
Okay, this is good.
And watch documentaries
about
animals.
Now, do you write?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, see now, so maybe what you might want to start with is start a blog. I mean, I don't know what social media you're on, but you should probably do something like that. Write about running,
mm-hmm.
and start to create yourself perhaps as a someone who is writing about what you enjoy most about running.
Okay.
Pardon me?
I said okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a great idea.
Is that sounded like a pretty good idea? See, I'm not too bad for an old guy, huh?
Yeah. I have to go, actually, but thank you for all your advice.
Oh, that's quite all right. I'm sorry for keeping you.
I'll let you know how it's going.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Katie. Be good.
Bye.
All right. By the way, there you go. If you have any questions, 914-636-0110 is our telephone number if you want to talk about your brand. And you're listening to, of course, Brand Talk with Dr. John Tantillo on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. Now, the loser of the week. And I hate to do it because I love this company. I remember as a kid asking my mother for a Brownie camera, and of course she never gave it to me. I had this terrible childhood. Only kidding. If my aunt is listening, my mother's sister, kid sister's listening, or my sister is listening, they're gonna say, "How could you say that about mom?" But I mean, she, you know, what could I tell you? There were some things that I just, it's not like things are today. But anyway, it's Kodak. What in the world has happened to Kodak? And how can we possibly be witnessing bankruptcy for this venerable brand, the one-time photographic pioneer and powerhouse? Well, I can tell you how. It's complacency, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts it was that arrogant corporate culture, because, I mean, they had the best and the brightest at that company, and there was just no way to talk to them. I'll bet you that was what it was. I can remember even 10 years ago, people saying before the digital stuff was just getting started, and they said, well, you know, film, there's nothing like the feel and the look of film. I mean, it's so much more intense. And by the way, I used to art direct photo shoots for Canon and my clients. So, I mean, and I used to get this from a lot of photographers, and that how, you know, it would never happen. And then, of course, last year, Chrome Coat went under. They stopped producing Chrome Coat, and that was the end of that because the technology got so good. But the point is that when you are in the marketplace, you have to have cat-like reflexes. And that's why packaged goods companies, or a career in packaged goods companies like a Procter & Gamble, is so important, because they're fighting competition every day of their lives. And that's what we have to do when we have a brand, or we have a business, or even if it's ourselves. What we have to do is we have to constantly be thinking about what it is we are, and not necessarily reinventing ourselves, but making sure that the brand is in fact satisfying the needs of our target market and our customers. And it's obvious that the good folks at Kodak didn't do that. I mean, they tried by getting into the printer business, and, it just didn't work that way. So let's hope that they get back on their feet. They get somebody in who has a more marketing approach to things. And let's hope that they can restore a great brand that has been around for a great many years. And we're talking about Kodak, brand winners and losers. And my name is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. If you like to call, 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And we are going to now do Did You Know That, which is our perennial crowd favorite. And Did You Know That is where little known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Does the name Percy LeBaron Spencer mean anything to you? It should. His curiosity and the mystery of a melted chocolate bar altered the way millions live their lives. Percy LeBaron Spencer was an orphan. He never even graduated elementary school. As a child, he worked in a spool mill in Maine. But the young boy had a knack for science. He left the mill and eventually became an engineer at Raytheon. His innovations earned him 300 patents, but it is what he did with a simple observation that proved to be truly momentous. It was 1945, and Spencer was in charge of magnetrons. magnetrons were the core of radar, and radar was helping to win the war. Well, one day, Spencer was standing in front of a magnetron, and something funny happened. A bar of chocolate in his pocket melted, even though he could feel no heat from the machine. Next, Spencer put popcorn beside the magnetron. It popped all over the room. Other engineers had noted the phenomenon, but only Spencer grasped that a magnetron could have uses far beyond radar. And this is why Spencer is now known as the father of the microwave oven. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
We're back. You're listening to Brand Talk. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. We're on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Love to hear from you. What's on your mind in terms of your brand? 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or if you like, doc@brandtalkradio.com, where I am the man manning the email station. And once again, 914-636-0110. So anyway, the key to Percy LeBaron Spence's success was not just that he noticed the chocolate melt. Other engineers had done that, but he wondered why and didn't stop until he found out. A Reader's Digest profile on Spencer called it his itch to know. Spencer asked questions about everything and often worked tirelessly to discover how something functioned or why something functioned the way it did. Just a side note, some of this tinkering led to him also being credited with an important role in the invention of television. From a branding point of view, the Spencer story reminds us of something that we need to remember. We must try to be curious. Whether you are inventing the microwave or running a bakery, a dog walking service, or whatever, being curious about what's around you can lead, what's around the corner can lead to great things. The Spencer story is all about remembering that people might see something, but only a handful see the significance in that something. And seeing the significance is what can lead you to make the kind of changes to your brand that will make a big difference. Remember our friend and the invention of the shopping cart. People had been shopping without carts for generations, but he saw a need and a way to meet that need in a new way. The microwave story also says something else. Think practically. Boy, if that doesn't ring true. Spencer knew in an instant that what he was curious about, the chocolate melting in his pocket without any detectable heat, could be applied to another area of human need, cooking. And that's the key, seeing how what you discover can work practically. And now you can say, I now know that. And you're listening to Dr. John Tantillo here on Brand Talk. Love to hear from you. 914-636-0110 here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. And as promised, I am going to stick my toe into the political marketing arena for one more time to talk a little bit about negative ads and my whole concept of negative ads. And It's this. And before I get into negative ads, let me tell you the secret of advertising, okay? I went to the mountain, and I came from the mountain, and I listened to all the greats like Jerry Della Femina, who's a wonderful man, who I had breakfast with many years ago. I think I have it on my Facebook page, in case anybody's interested. But the secret of advertising is that it has to be truthful. Now, everybody's rolling their eyes. How many ads did I say that was full of, you know, that's not true. How could you say that, Tantillo? You're just an apologist for advertisers. And No. The folks at McCann Erickson said that advertising is the truth well told. And let me tell you, if you can fool somebody once, you might be able to fool them twice. But after the third time, if you are not telling the truth in your ads, you're going to have a problem. So what are you talking about? How does that relate to the political stuff? Well, one of the candidates, and I will not use his name, was upset because of the negative ads that were being used against him. And the problem was that they were effective. They were working. And they put him not in the first place spot. And my point would be that the reason that they were effective was because there might have been some truth in them. And not only that, but the reaction that the candidate gave just reinforced what the ads were saying. So it was like, it was surreal. So no wonder why this candidate went from being on top to being at the bottom. In other words, the ads in the minds of the receivers, of the people that were looking at the ads, were in fact real, truthful, and that is why. Now, let me say that if the ads are not truthful and not believable or perceived as believable, the less effective that they are. Now, I'm not, you know, I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. I know that sometimes negative ads can in fact work, and they do work, and that they don't always have to be truthful. But for them to resonate, for them to be long-lasting, for them to stay with you, that's what I'm talking about. And depending on the length of the campaign, that's what it's about. So that's all I'm going to be talking about in terms of that. I hope I got through the minefield. But how do you feel about political marketing? 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. We love to hear from you. And there you have it. Okay, you're listening to Brand Talk. My name is Dr. John Tantillo on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. I have some talking points here that I just would like to go over. You'll be getting tired of me talking about my wonderful experiences in Florida, especially Chris next door, my engineer, who, when I say what a great time I had in Florida, he puts his hands over his ears and he starts, la, 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 so he can't hear what a wonderful time I had in Florida. So there, Chris. But I better be good, otherwise he'll just cut me off or do something bad to me. No, he would never do something like that because he's too good of a guy. But anyway, I had dinner with this my friend Marco, and who is a brilliant entrepreneur. And we were talking about, it's very relevant because we were talking about that he could never work in corporate America. He was an entrepreneur, and he made his money by being an entrepreneur. You know, we were talking about Romney. We were talking about the different candidates, Obama, And the thing that, which surprised me, and that's what's always great about going to to interesting dinners with interesting people, and that you should always do that. You know, what's the book that that fellow wrote? Never always have lunch with somebody. Help me out here. Always have lunch with never have lunch alone, or always have lunch with another person, or something like that. Fezzi, I believe the fellow's name is. And because you can learn a lot. But the point is, he said to me, we're having this great Italian meal. We're outside looking at the pretty women go by. And it was just it was just wonderful. And he says to me out of the blue, he says, gee, I could never work. I knew early that I could never work in a corporate environment because they wouldn't allow me to do what I felt I had to do. I almost dropped my fork. I just couldn't believe it. And this guy, I would say, is in his mid-40s, and I mean, really successful. One of the nicest, creative, intelligent. You could talk art. You could talk. Well, he was educated in Switzerland. It was just a wonderful guy. Anyway, I thought that was very, very interesting. And we then got into the whole corporate brand. And he knew his brand very, very well. And by the way, it's funny because when he critiques a show, I get about 3 pages of single-spaced notes on the show. So I'm sure I'm going to be getting that once I tell him that I mentioned it to him. But the point is, he is a man that knows his brand, okay? He knows his brand. And if we could do that here, that would be right up my alley. And that's why I love to hear from you in our last few minutes of Brand Talk on WVOX, 914-636-0110. 914-636-0110. So that's one dinner I had. And it was another dinner. And this is a little bit a little heavier, but it's still it was very meaningful. So I had dinner about last week in New York, of course, at one of my favorite restaurants. Vice versa. I'm going to go to dinner there tonight. I shouldn't be telling people that, but I'm going to have dinner there tonight with some friends. And I went out with a missionary. I believe he was a Dominican. And he was from Bern, Switzerland. And he is living in a mission. Are you ready for this? In Guatemala. It takes 9 hours to get to his mission from the airport. And you got to go at night so you don't get robbed. I mean, it's like, the guy is older than I am, okay? And I just said, Tantillo, don't ever complain about your life. His legs are bothering him. He walks around in a walker. And this guy, okay, is in Guatemala helping the people of the world. I mean, to me, and it was my pleasure to buy this guy dinner. And it just moved me. And I can remember as a young man, going to a cloistered monastery, and if you don't know what a cloistered monastery is, it's where you can't speak, and it's not open to the public unless you're going to go on a retreat. And I went there, and I came back, And it's very, very, you know, you live in a very small room. And all they do, the monks there, for all intents and purposes, they're in the fields. They do that. They're self-sufficient. And they pray. That's right. Pray. And somebody said to me, who was an atheist, I couldn't believe this, or more an agnostic. Let's say he was an agnostic. I'll never forget this. And I was 21 years old. And he said, it's great to know that there are people in the world that still are praying for us. I couldn't believe that. Wow, my God. So it's just wonderful to know that there are people in the world that are doing great things. And in this materialistic world that I am, and if you know, I got my tailored suits and my tailored shirts, and I am really, you know, and I love my great restaurants. But I tell you, that was a very, 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 very moving experience. So anyway, that's that. And I guess what's great about brands is that there is the missionary brand, and then there are different the monastic brand, and how those kinds of nouns have certain kinds of adjectives that affiliated with it. Well, folks, another show, another day. And we'd love for you to come back next Wednesday, 3 to 4 on WVOX. See you next week.